Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
This Dr. G.
This is me.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well.
Good, good. Thank God for another Thursday. We had a little bit of technical difficulty, but it looks like everything's worked out.
Beautiful.
So we're going to go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name. We thank you again for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Dr. G, we made it to another week. Thank the Lord for that. We know that God is still in the blessing business. And on last Thursday, we were talking about how Peter and John ministered to the lame man that was sitting outside of the temple, did not have any money to give him, but what they had to give him was more valuable than the silver and gold.
Amen.
Which was an awesome thing to realize that anybody around the world, whether you have money or not, can share the greatest gift that can ever be given. And you know, that's what's so awesome about the Word of God, is that you don't have to rely on your own power to minister to someone, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God can minister to those that are in need of ministry. And, you know, again, we were talking about the first century church and what was going on and how things went on. And we see clearly that because they were obedient to God, because they were on one accord, and because they didn't mind sharing the word, it caused them to be able to be successful in ministry. And I think everyone wants to be successful in ministry, but I think sometimes we're not as successful if we're not following what God has laid out for us to do.
Amen.
Dr. G, you still there? You want to chime in on that?
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Pastor C, and I think it's a thing that with a lot of us as leaders, preachers, or whatever, you know, we want what God has to give, but we want to take the shortcut. You know, we learn and we know that we have to study. to show ourselves unto the Lord, we have to be committed. We have to have a mind that's made up that we're going to do as he commands. But too often, especially in this day and time, you know, we want to take the shortcut. You know, we want the titles, we want the money if it's there.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't want to do what it takes to get there. We prefer to take the shortcuts.
Amen. And there is no shortcut when it comes to God. He has a plan, and we have to follow his plan.
Amen.
Which is sobering sometimes to people that, you know, our ways are not his ways, our thoughts are not his thoughts. But when you're obedient unto him, his way and his will, God knows what's best for us, and it will work out for our good. You know, we often hear about Joseph when he was treated badly by his brothers, and he was sold into slavery. And in the end, God said, "What, you know, through his prophet, what man went for his bad, God meant for his good."
Amen.
And so when we see this man that's lame at this temple, you know, people can question what his parents did or what happened or why was he born this way. And again, God works on a level that we don't work on, that he understood that this person would be a powerful witness for him if this person was challenged physically. And then once he received God as his Savior, that he would be a powerful witness for God. And we talked about how that happens so many times in our lives with the challenges or the sticky situations we get into. When we allow God to handle them, what happens is our testimony and our witness becomes so great that we have an influence or an impact, a godly impact on those that are around us. And this is what sometimes we don't understand while we're going through. We say, "Why, Lord, am I going through this? I don't understand." But if you just hold on to God's unchanging hand, if you hold on to the Lord, he'll come through and he'll let you know in his time, in due time. And then there's so many times where people say, "Now I understand why I had to go through. Now I understood why this had to happen so that God could get the glory." And that's just the way he worked, Dr. G.
You're right, and all the years that I've been serving him, I found that he's not going to change. The Bible doesn't say anything about the fact that the Lord changes his ways. His ways are his ways, and if we are going to be serious, we are just going to have to follow him and be obedient to what he says. And I realize that it takes a lot of faith and definitely a lot of love to stay on this Christian journey. But ultimately, we've got to believe in what he has given us in the Word of God, that, you know, he says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world." But, you know, as we talked about last week, you know, we get in those sticky situations and we allow Slewfoot to come in and deceive away from what we know we should be doing. And so then the Lord has to send the test. And sometimes tests can go long periods of time, and we're just not willing to you know, go that period of time. We want to know why. We want instant relief. We want our blessings now. And for some reason in our minds, we think, okay, when we've given it a time frame, well, I've gone long enough without. You know, I've prayed on it, but I don't seem to get what I want. You know, I heard Donnie McClurkin on the radio one morning had to tell him, it's you know, God is not, he just doesn't give us what we want because we pray. It has to be according to his will.
Amen. And you know, once we've submitted ourselves into that, I think we'll be better off. And a part of that is submitting yourself unto God and then learning how to wait on him. And I think when you learn how to wait on God, what happens is it helps the waiting to be more bearable. And one of the ways that we learn to wait on God is through praise and worship.
Man.
And if we look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "And he leaping up and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." And verse 10 says, "And they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with the wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him." And so when you're continuing to praise God, when you're continuing to walk, when you continue to give God the glory in spite of your situation, what happens is people will pay attention. They will see what is going on. And a lot of times they want to see if it's real. They want to see if while you're going through this trial, will you still praise God? Will you still give God the glory? Will you still have the right attitude? Will you still have the faith to continue to press your way? And that's one of the ways where you get through those challenges, by continuing to praise God in the midst of the situation. And what happens is God will allow you to feel his presence, and you will know his presence. You'll know that you're not alone. And there's something about being in fellowship with praying and praising God that gives you a strength that cannot be explained. It'll give you a peace that you can't explain. It'll surpass all understanding, and people will wonder, how in the world is this person who I know is going through can still give God the glory like this, Dr. G?
Well, you're right. And, you know, I think about my own ministry. I think about my own life.
Mm-hmm.
I've had so many challenges up and down while in the ministry and then after starting pastoring. And there were many days that the pressure just got to be too much, because you're dealing with people, and people have a to make you want to just say, it's not worth it, forget it. And, you know, I do. I thank God for Sheila G, and I thank God for Brandon by the time he came, because through their efforts, the Lord had to get my attention and let me know that all that I was going through was worth it. He had a plan. And now, fast forward to where we are right now, I can understand, and I can see why I had to go through all of that to appreciate what I've got now. So, you know, what you've said is definitely true. And then once you realize that, you know, God knows what he's doing, all you can do is praise him and thank him. And that's why I tell folks, you know, I don't care how bad life gets. You know, I wake up in the morning and I thank God. I shared last night, you know, this week has been ache pain free, not an ache, not a pain anywhere. So all of that, you have to continue to give God the praise, whether you feel like it or not. That there was several Sundays I was hurting, and wifey would make me, just nag me to the point, fine, I'm going. And once I got to church, the pain, all of that just seemed to dissipate, and I was glad that I went. But it also symbolized and it showed the people do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. That's powerful. And, you know, that is the same God. And that's what I rely on, is the same God that has kept me all these years is the same God that's going to continue to keep me. And you know, there's a song that says, I don't believe he brought me this far to leave. And you get that strength. And I believe one of the chorus in that song is, I don't feel no ways tied. You know, because, you know, God has blessed me every time I was tired, every time I felt like giving up, every time, you know, I felt like, you know, I couldn't make it. God gave me the encouragement, and he gives us the strength to go on. And so what we have to do is like what Peter and John did. If we look at Acts 3, verse 11, and it says, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And so what Peter and John did is what everyone who has been blessed by God should do, is to give God the glory and point to him and not take credit for yourself. And so in verse 12 it says, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" And that's the humility of your relationship with God. When you know God and who he is and what he's done in your life, you can't take credit for anything. We weren't even smart enough to be able to save ourselves. And so Peter and John, they stayed humble. And I think that's one thing about ministry.
Yep.
One thing I've watched and watched and admired about you, Dr. G, and New Birth, you stay humble. And that was one of the things my dad always taught us. To stay humble is if you stay humble, you know, people will look at you and they think you're down, and they think that, you know, that it's all over. And because you're staying humble, and you're not making any waves, you're not making a big to do out of it, but you're just staying steadfast. You're staying on that path of humility, and that's what Jesus did. He stayed humble. He stayed on that path of humility, and he gave God the glory. And we just have to give God the glory for every day. You know, when we wake up, we say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." In other words, whatever happens in my life today, the miracles, the blessings that come my way, I know it's not anything good that I've done, but it's all because of the goodness of God and his love for me that he's blessing me that way. And when you have a relationship with God like that, it humbles you, or it should humble you. I can't speak for everybody, but it should humble you that you don't get puffed up, you don't get swole up, but you say, "All I have and all ever I hope to be, I owe unto the Lord." Dr. G.
Well, you know, you're right, Pastor C, and I learned humility from my first pastor, Pastor King, over at First Rock. Once I acknowledged my ministry, my calling, and I watched him and the way that he dealt with people. I mean, he loved the Lord in such a fashion that he stayed humble, regardless of how church members treated him. And I thought that was just amazing. You know, it amazed me that someone could do that. And then fast forward a few more years, once I met Dad, and you're right, your father was very humble, and he was a full-blood colonel, but he stayed humble. And one of the reasons why the Lord blessed that man in such a fashion, and where he was, the church that he attended, you know, no, everything wasn't the way he would have loved, and trying to deal with the pastor over there, but he continued to stay humble, and he continued until the day that he died to do as God commanded. And, you know, he taught his children that way, and, you know, I've learned over the years you can't beat God, so you better learn how stay humble, and when you are humble, God will bless you in ways that you can't even imagine.
Amen. It is so true. And again, in this first century church, when the miracles were performed and God healed this man, they just simply said, you know, we didn't do it on our own power or our holiness. In the end of that verse 12, for our holiness. And you got so many times people, they forget where they come from, they don't stay humble, and they think it's them, and they think it's their holiness, and it causes a great stumbling block in the church or in the message of the church when people think it's their power and their holiness. And I've seen some leaders get real arrogant and pompous, and they become stumbling blocks, and it gets in the way of God's message and his plan. And Peter, he just said, "Why are you looking at us? It's nothing we did. This is by God. It's not our power, and it's not our holiness that has done this." And I think this message needs to be pasted up on a lot of pulpits, Dr. G.
You're right. And, you know, I was just sitting here thinking about how we live in a society, and, you know, all I hear about bishops, the titles that these jokers get and what they go through to get to them.
Uh-huh.
And you're right, a lot of these leaders have forgotten how they got there. I've watched it. I've seen it. And I guess that's one of the things that kept me focused and wouldn't let me change, because I appreciate all that the Lord has done. And that's why the Lord had to get my attention to help me to get to a point where I appreciate what I have, because I wanted to church. I wanted to have more people. I wanted to do this. It was all about But I took my sights off of the Lord, and once the Lord got my attention, he brought me back down to a point where, okay, Lord, I understand. But I've never been the one where I took credit. And now when I look at New Birth, and then when I hear people that have gone through with other pastors and come over with me, and they, you know, say kind things. You know, I don't get big-headed, but I do thank God. It's taken, the last 3 or 4 years for folks to get to the point where they say, you know, I do appreciate my pastor.
Right.
Church. But up until then, no. I had never really heard that before. But yet, something through the power of the Holy Spirit kept me pushing, kept me doing the things that I need to do. And that's what it's all about.
Amen. And when you experience God like that, and you say, "Hey, it's nothing I've done," and realize that Peter, what Peter saw.
That's right.
When he saw what Jesus went through, and he saw that what Jesus was preaching was true, and he saw Jesus' death, and he saw Jesus' resurrection, and he experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, he could never be the same. And he said, "I've seen the power of God. I've seen what he's done." Paul had a similar experience. And I believe every believer who's experienced God's salvation has this awe of God, of what he's done in their lives, and to be able to tell somebody, "I'm saved, I've been set free, I've been delivered from the power and the penalty of sin." That is an indescribable feeling. Your conscience has been free. You've been liberated. You've been made free, and death and the grave and sin no longer has power over you. And truly, that is a freedom that the Son has made us free. And so, Peter, on this journey to share the gospel, he gets back to the Word. So now that they've gotten there, they've seen a miracle, and Peter said, "Don't look at me." He said, "Let me point you to the one who did this." And that should be all of our tactics, all of our tactics. Anyone that shares the Word of God, we should be pointing toward God. Not me, not you, not what they did or he did, but we should point to the God that can do it. And in verse 13, Peter does that. He points them to this God that can save like this or heal like this. So in verse 13, he said, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our father, have glorified his son Jesus, whom we delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. And so he begins to minister them the word of God, and then the word of God begins to convict them of the wrongdoing or the sin that they committed to the one that saved them, that God sent. The same God of Abraham, the same God of Isaac, the same God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, the one that was prophesied about from the beginning with Samuel, the very first prophet. They spoke of this coming Messiah, and he goes and he lets the Jews at that time know that this is the one you crucified, this is the one that you killed, but this is the one that God glorified and raised from the dead. This is the one that you denied, that you delivered to death in the presence of Pilate when Pilate said he had did nothing wrong. And so he begins to take this a moment in time where miracles were performed and people were saved. And he began to start telling those that were not saved, this is what you did, this is why you're in the situation, and this is what God did to deliver you from this situation. Dr. G?
Well, you know what, like you said, it takes one of those down-to-earth Holy Spirit moments where the Lord has to allow you to go through what you go through, and then you realize that it's all because of his grace. And once he humbles you, you have got to be bold enough to not just say the words, but you've got to live that life that other people can see. Because, I mean, we're living in a time where too often, you know, a lot of these leaders, they talk a good thing, good preachers. But when you look at their life, their lifestyle doesn't bear witness of what they're preaching about. And it sends a vibe through the church that, you know, we talk with forked tongues. You know, we say one thing, but then we do another. And that's one of the things that, okay, when the Lord has given you that down-to-earth Holy Ghost moment, that you're not only talking a good game, but people can see it, how you live your life, how you present then you're bold enough, you're not afraid to talk to people about the goodness of God, because that's one of the reasons he allows us to go through all of what we go through, so that we can fall back on our own experiences and bring it up. Because the Lord will put you in places where you need to open your mouth and tell folk about how good God is. I mean, we tell folk everything else, but we need to be telling about the goodness of the Lord.
All right. And they were bold soldiers, and so Peter is telling them, and I tell people a lot of times, the message is not a message that is going to, like you said, cut corners or take shortcuts, but it's going to call it like it is. If you're wrong, you're wrong. You can't sugarcoat it. And so Peter's not sugarcoating the sin that was at hand.
Amen.
And as long as I've seen some ministries where they sugarcoat messages and you know, you're good and nothing's supposed to happen to you and all of this, and it never really deals with the sin that has caused so much devastation to this world. And that's not reality, and that's not going to get people converted or saved if you just sugarcoat and tell people, oh, you're good, and, you know, just do this good, and all this good is going to save you. You have to confront the sin that got you in the position where you need to be saved.
Amen.
And so Peter, he goes in on him. He said, this same God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, back in verse 13, Acts 13, have glorified his son whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. And then he goes on to verse 14. But ye deny the Holy One and the just and desire a murderer to be granted unto you. So this is some cut stuff. This is some stuff where they're being reminded of all those that came before, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God, the same prophet, the same men of God that promised this Jesus. This is the one that came, and this is the one that you denied, and you denied his, the Holy One, you denied the Just One, and because of your stubbornness, because of your hard-heartedness, you wanted a murderer to be delivered because you didn't want to accept Jesus as Lord. And that is going to send a lot of people to hell. And I don't mean to sound mean, and I don't mean to sound nasty, but when people, they want salvation, but they don't want Lord, you can't have one without the other. You got to have Jesus as Savior and Lord. Dr. G?
And you know, with that whole thing, you know, because, I mean, and I think we probably all have done it, but one of the things the Lord convicted me this year, and just like with Peter, he told me, go into it, tell them like it is. You know, we don't, to, as you said, you know, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings through our messages, but a lot of times, you know, that's not good for the people. They need to hear that we are sinners saved by God's grace. And the only way for us to get to this point is by doing X, Y, and Z. And too often, you know, we give them those feel-good messages, and a lot of churches, pastors, that's all that they're preaching out there. You know, they want the folk to shout, to jump up and down, run around the church, and there's a time and place for that. But if you're not jumping and if you're not running for the right reason, you're just making some noise and getting some exercise.
And so he continues on in verse 15, and he tells them, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And he said, Peter said, we're witnesses to this Prince of Life. You know, they killed the Prince of Life. And, you know, before we get too down on these Jews at this time, sin is what caused the life of Jesus. Jesus had to pay for the sins of the world. And, you know, sometimes we can look at biblical history and scripture, and we shake our heads and poo-poo those that are the subject of the conversation at the time. But we can't forget that our sin contributed to the death of Jesus as well. And so we ought not, you know, have our holier than thou moment, oh, well, they killed him and they were the ones that killed him. But no, he just didn't die for their sins, but he just died for the sins of the world. And so when he says that he killed the Prince of Life whom God has raised from the dead, where we are witnesses, then all of our sins contributed to Jesus going to the cross. And on that cross, Calvary's cross, where they nailed that epitaph to his cross, here is the King of the Jews. All of our sins were on that cross. And through his death and through his burial, through his resurrection, he wiped our slate clean. And it's an individual, it's a personal thing. We can't look at these people who Peter was ministering to or John was ministering as they're the ones that killed him. Our sins were cause of his stripes. Our sins were a cause of his death. Our sins were the cause of his suffering. He didn't die for just one man or these men that are be talking about in the scripture, but he died for the sins of the world. And that's why in that Gospel of John, where it said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life, in John 3:16, is because he died for the sins of the world. And so Peter's preaching this powerful witness, and he says, we are witnesses. In other words, we've seen this Jesus who was promised go to Calvary's cross And we've seen you tell Pilate that we don't want this innocent man, but we don't want this thief, but we want this innocent man to suffer because we don't want him as Lord. In other words, we're too proud, we're too arrogant, we're too ignorant to understand that this is God's promised Messiah. And a lot of people, because of their selfishness, because of the deceptiveness of Satan, they're going to miss heaven because they are not receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. Dr.
Amen.
G.
And, you know, we forget that the Bible reminds us through the disciples, Peter and John and others, and it says that we all, and if we just stop right there, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've heard some preachers, you know, in debates or whatever, talk about, now that I'm saved by grace, I'm not a sinner. And, you know, I had to shake my head in hearing that kind of stuff, and that's the kind of arrogance that folk seem to have gotten. But the Bible is clear. We all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as you said, Christ, when he went to the cross and paid that price, that was for sins past, present, and future ones people are going to commit. But we don't get that, and we're not preaching that enough. People don't seem to understand that. We think that because we're saved, that we're free from sin, and that's far from the truth.
Amen. And he continues on in his verse 16 in his sermon. He says, "And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." In other words, they're saying God did this for this man.
Amen.
Through his son and this man's faith in his son. Back to when Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none."
None.
Silver and gold I have. But he gave him Jesus. He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." We go back to that verse 6. And because that man had faith in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he was made strong. He was made perfect soundness in the presence of us all. And if you go back to the verse 16, he says, "Whom," and he says, "the faith which is in him have given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And that is the power of the gospel message, is you present it in all of its rawness, not sugar-coated.
Amen.
And if people have faith and believe in this Jesus who was prophesied about, who was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this Jesus, if people by faith would receive him, they can be made whole. And that's just the power of God in this world, seeking who he can save while grace is still extended. And it is an awesome thing to see it happen, first to experience it, and then also to see it happen. Dr. G?
Well, you know, I was sitting here thinking, I think for me, when I was coming up, especially in the church, Pastor King, one of the first scriptures that he had us remember was John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And, you know, we have got to get back to that, that there's no other way to get to the Father except by way of Jesus. You know, I kid with Jessica a lot down in Hampton, and I told her, you know, your problems are going to be there, but you need Jesus. And we joke, but I'm serious about the thing. You know, when you've got Jesus, he just seems to make everything all right. I don't care how bad life may be. If you your focus is on Christ, if your focus is on what God has brought you through, the positive, not the negative things, you'll be fine. But we have to get that focus back on where it's supposed to be. You know, we didn't do it. We can't do it. We don't have
Amen.
The power to. And
Amen.
God had his own plan and still has his own plan. So we have to focus on the positive things, and we've got to get Jesus back in our hearts.
Amen. Amen. I want to stop right there and go to the phone lines to just ask the question. Do we understand the power of having faith in Jesus, how that has made us whole, how that has saved us? Because you know, Peter and John didn't get anything else but believe on the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And when you believed on that simple, believed on that name of Jesus, he was able to make us whole. And I just want to ask those that are listening tonight, do they understand the power of God through his son's sacrifice and our belief in that it has made us whole, has restored us into the proper relationship, back into the proper relationship with God. We're going to go to phone lines. We're going to go to the first caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, I understand that Jesus has made me whole by having faith in him and putting my trust in him and mm-hmm. believing the word. And our faith is increased the more we hear the word, the more we practice the word and let it become a part of our life. And it's through the experiences, past experiences mm-hmm. that we go through in our testimonies, that our faith gets stronger in God and what he can do for us. And so as we grow spiritually and trust him every day more and more,
mm-hmm.
and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life, then we get stronger. And so we have to put everything in God's hand, the good, the bad, the not so good, and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, just have the faith to believe that God has us. He has us
yeah.
under control. He knows everything about us because he made us. And so the more we trust him, and we only trust him as much as we know about him.
Amen.
That's right.
And so once we have learned, we have to put that into action. And sometimes God allows us to go through things so that we can have that closer relationship in his,
mm-hmm.
with him. And we can see his power and his glory. Because if we didn't go through anything, we wouldn't know what God can do for us.
Amen.
And we wouldn't be able to help our fellow brothers or even the unsaved. And so
mm-hmm.
our testimony carry a strong weight as far as what God can do for us and working through us. Because sometimes
yeah.
God wants to use us for his glory. And so, like you said before, we might not understand it, but if we just continue to trust him and keep holding on to him, he's going to show us in the end
mm-hmm.
it was all worth it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits is 1285. 1285, you're on there.
Lord, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Do I understand the power of Jesus and has he made me whole? This is the very first scripture when the Lord got my attention from getting clean of the world and of the substance abuse that I was troubled with growing up. And I knew there was a power, but I didn't think it was any power that I could connect with, you know. And
mm-hmm.
But what I do notice is that there is a power. I believe in what I know about Jesus. The part about making me whole, I'm grateful for the fact the whole part that I can relate to is, yes, I'm repentant of those sins, realizing and knowing that those were sins that I was committing. But he is doing the whole part on me now. because the faith just wavers and wavers and wavers. And I find myself now on a daily basis asking them to help me with the faith. Now, what I do see as far as the power is, he is showing me, you know, that there's something else that I need to do. So I'm just going to leave it at that and just thank the Lord and thank God for this program, because now it's showing me how it's opening up the core and showing me just what it is and how much sitting still that I need to do in order to hear from him and to be obedient to what I'm hearing.
Amen.
Because a major part of it is the pride, you know, and I didn't even know I had any more pride there, but I thank the Lord for this, because I do see that, you know, just as those people saw back then, they even saw that the miracle. They saw it go through Peter and John and, you know, still had questions. And you know, that's how we are today, and that's how I am now. But I thank the Lord for this word. Thank you.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 3343. 3343, you're on air.
Yes, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Oh, my God. Yes, sir. I'm thankful for the good Lord and the power for me. Because last Thursday or last Wednesday, I had to go to a doctor. And I don't like doctors. I don't like hospitals or nothing like that. But I got to pay the doctor upstairs. And when I went to the doctor gave me some medicine that I didn't pay no attention to it. But, you know, I say doctors have to be all right, because the good Lord put them in their hands. And if he's going to be all right, go ahead and take what he got to give you. But, no, that's not always true. But when I got back home, started reading the label on the medicine, the paper that come with the medicine, and I left it for long. But I was aching and paining. And after last Thursday, Bible study, I Friday the next morning, I woke up, and the pain that I was dealing with me, because I was just really going to take this medicine. But when I woke up, the Lord, I had prayed on it, and when I woke up, the Lord had touched me, and the pain was gone. I was able to move around.
Hallelujah.
And the next few days, the pain was still losing around and getting loose and loose. So I just ignored it, and I was going to take this medicine, and he didn't let me take this medicine at all. I bought this medicine, I just had to throw it away because I didn't take it. But the Lord gave me his hand, and he put it on me and put it in my mind that I am with you, and that's it. And I never did take it no more. So I'm just thankful that I'm on the right track. I just, it's unbelievable to talk. I can't talk because I get spooled. But it's a pleasure to do and talk and tell people the thing that you, if you see it, stick with God. If you ain't think you can't see it, leave it alone. Stay with God and stay with the Bible and keep reading the thing. I'm so thankful that I got a chance to finish reading Revelation, and I heard the pastor when he was preaching, because I never heard nobody preach it the way he did. But I got just to get finished Revelation, and I'm going back to Genesis again. I'm thankful that brother, I got the power of him. Stay with me with the pain that I was going through. Yes, stay with God. Stay with God, whatever you are. Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Powerful testimony. Let's go to the next caller. Last four digits, 8520. 8520, you're on the air. 8520. All right. Let me go to the next caller. Last four digits, 7639. 7639, you're on air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
You know, God has blessed me so much this year. I'm starting to realize things. I'm starting to handle situations better than what I would have before. For instance, I have never locked myself out the door while I was inside my place. I did it as a child. I put my keys down and would go outside and be locked out of the building until my mother got home, until my stepfather got home. But two nights in a row, Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning, I got up to go to the bathroom almost at the same time. I never take my keys with me. I never put them in my pocket. All of a sudden, I closed the door, and I realized I had locked myself out. So a guy was kind enough to come along. I asked him, "Can you get a coat hanger?" I'm like, "This is embarrassing, man. I'm standing outside in my long johns, outside my door, inside of the building. You know, anybody can come past here and see me, but, you know, I was most concerned about a woman coming past and seeing me, but then I realized they on the other side. The only way they can see me is if I come out enough in the hallway where they can see me. So anyway, he let me in. The next morning, I had that door open. I didn't have it wide open, but I had the door unlocked. I had the lock off the door. Guess what I did? I staggered up. Sometimes when I get up, when you go to the bathroom or somebody calls you and wake you up, you ain't in your right mind. You're trying to get your burn. You don't have your burn straight. So what I did, I fell over the door, locked the door again. I'm like, this can't keep happening, not two nights in a row. You know, I felt Satan was chasing me. And, you know, because I really started, you know, getting in my word. So I said, okay, I asked this guy to give me a coat hanger. I'm like, I've never had to try this before, but it worked. I got back in. So this morning when I got up, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to cut the light on so I can see exactly where I'm at. I got to the door. I said, okay, not today. I took the back end of the door and I opened it up. I made sure the lock was off of it. Did what I had to do and come on back. I would have gotten upset. I would have gotten angry. Like, ain't no need to get angry. You got two options. Wait for somebody to come down the hall and they can help you get your door open. Or wait till 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I need my sleep. I gotta get up at 11. If I'm going back to sleep at 9, oh boy, somebody gonna be tired and sleeping, be sleeping at the post. But it didn't happen that way. God has blessed me with this year with more and more increasing patience. I just have to learn to let him do it his way and not try to do it my way. I've gotten better at that, but there's still a ways to go. I don't get as angry when people bump up against me in the subway. I just shoot them a look, and I'm like, somebody ain't show you no manners. Because when it was me, if I'd have did that and I was in the presence of my mother, guess what? Two things would have happened. Either I would have got slapped for not saying excuse me, or she would have embarrassed me loudly, like saying, boy, you know, or you know, when parents get mad at you, what they call your whole name, Curtis Anthony Robinson, what? And she'd be going for it. So I realized as Christians, we got to be long-suffering. And we got to put up with people's ways just like they put up with ours. And Peter and John, back in the day, they were great examples, you know. They were with God. They experienced being around God. I've never experienced being around God, but He's in my heart, you know. He's in my mind. First thing I want to do, you know, I know on Thursday nights where I'm supposed to be at, in my room, waiting for prayer service to come on Wednesday mm-hmm. night, waiting for Bible study to come on, and Tuesday night downstairs in the basement as being a part of Bible study class. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's great, Pastor Kayson. I got more patience and much more peace in my life. You know, you can't don't sweat the small thing. You know,
right.
If you got a problem, get down on your knees and pray, or get home or wherever you at, just immediately start praying. Things are going to get better. They're going to get a lot better. We're not going to always be in our storm. We're not going to always have this and that. But we got to learn how to deal with situations. You know, sometimes they are our fault, sometimes they're not. We just mm-hmm. have to learn how to deal with it and above all, grow. That's all I have to
Amen.
Say, grow in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Dr. G, getting ready to get to the top of the hour. We thank God for those who have called in. We thank God for his word. Just thank God for the book of Acts that, you know, God put in his word how the church was born, the first century church, and how mm-hmm. it's an example for churches down through the years, even down to our church of today. And you look at all those years, how it still is the example and that message of faith in Jesus making us whole. It's just a powerful message. So, Dr. G, we just want to ask you for your final comments on tonight's study and close us out in prayer, if you will, sir.
Sure. Well, you know, I guess to lend some encouragement to some of the callers, that what you've said is basically the key, you know, having faith in Jesus, but understanding that the faith is going to come with a price, because the enemy is going to try to pull you down and pull you away from your faith. But in order to be made whole, we have to understand it's not going to happen overnight. It's a process. You're going to be developing, and situations that we are in there to help strengthen our faith. So the more faith you have, the more your mm-hmm. temptations are going to grow. The stronger your faith is, the more the Lord is going to help you to develop all that he wants you to. And while you're developing, you know, we have to learn how to do just what Pauls was saying. You know, we've got to learn how to wait on him. We can't talk mm-hmm. about it, but we have to learn how to wait. And while we're waiting, we've got to be of good courage. So we thank God for the message. We thank God for Peter and John and how mm-hmm. they spread that word boldly and just reminded people that, you know, this man did not become whole because of us. It's all because of the Lord, and that's what we have
Amen.
To continue. And we can't look at the little things as things that just happen. That's a process, and God knows what he's doing there. So with that, we thank God for those that did call. Pray for more that will call in. We mm-hmm. ask that everyone would bow their heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just
thank
another
you.
Evening. That we've had a chance to sit down and go through your word. Lord, we thank you for that lame man. We thank you for Peter and John. Father, I thank you for the humility that we saw in them, that they went back. They didn't cut any corners, Lord. They just told people the way it was. It wasn't because of anything that we did, but it's all because of Jesus. Father, we thank you for that
you
I thank you for the testimonies that we've heard tonight. Lord, I pray for these that called in. I pray that you would continue to strengthen them in all that they do. Lord, we claim the victory right now. And we know that if we believe in Jesus and continue to stay this course, we're going to have the final victory. So, Lord, we thank you, and we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.